to Shattering Mist. We have Glenn still with us. We also have Kirk now. Bar is an interesting term. You know, bar is the term that England said could mean to name. And I'm not seeing to name in it. Let's look at this word. Bara, the primary definition of bara is to form, to shape, to create, to cut, to separate, and to cause something to happen. Now, in the bara is written typically either in the peel stem or in the call stem. In the call stem, you know, you're talking about literal and actual, and there it's typically translated to create. In the peel stem, the same verb means either to cut and separate, to divide things, as, you know, you would expect with Yahweh. You know, everything is about cutting, dividing, and separating. This covenant was cut, for example. But it is actually used to, in the peel stem, to describe the carving of a signpost. So it is a word that can be to provide, well, I'm going to provide some instruction here. I'm going to carve as a signpost a DNA, for example. How's that for a sign? Yeah, how's that for a sign along the way?
Yeah.
It's an inscription. Now, it's three letters in Bara. The B, Beth. The R, which is the Rosh. And the A sound in Bara comes from the LF. So how would you go about defining the word based on the letters?
Well, I would say roughly the family that observes Yahweh or the authority.
Yeah. Yeah. He's creating a family that observes the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Aleph speaks of the of God as our father and as our shepherd. So whether it's Ab or El, the Aleph defines Almighty God as our father and shepherd. And the Rosh means to use your eyes to observe, your ears to listen, your mouth to respond, your brain to process it before you respond so that you can understand. And Bara is the family and the home. So this is the what he conceived, what he fashioned, what he cut, what he initiated, what he carved on the signpost was the means to the family home. So the observant would come to know the Almighty Father and Shepherd.
Mark for me.
Bara. Yeah, Bara. That's the meaning of the word. It's interesting that today some of the lexicons contrast it with Yatsar, which is to fashion. Yatsar has the signpost in it with a TS sound. They say that the difference between Yatsar and Bara is that Bara speaks of the creation, emphasizes the initiation of the process to conceive the object. So if that's true, then God initiated the process of creating a family of observant individuals who would come to know him as Father, as Almighty God, and as their shepherd. So, yeah, it's, I think that England is right on many things, not everything.
But, about mm-hmm. England, I have a little difficulty with, like, when he speaks of particles, like, coalescing in such a way to conserve energy. I have trouble with that, in a sense, because I only have, like, a layman's understanding or an uninitiated understanding of these things. But, like, it seems to imply intent. you know, oh, well, let's get together and save money by buying it to the big box store. You know what I mean? Let's particle. It seems to imply intent, which implies process. I mean, it's a thought process. As opposed
really
to, like, the second law of thermodynamics, which says that systems in order tend toward disorder. And that's in the realm of the inanimate, that certainly seems to be true. And I often say that it's actually biological life that works against that tendency of disorder. You know, like if you look at mountains erode, they, things in nature tend to become disorganized. It's life forms, it's life force, it's the formation of living things that where you see order coming where there was just inanimate stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our physical bodies that devolve over time, they don't get better.
Right. But yet we are alive, so our bodies can, repair themselves to some degree, things, mm-hmm. Grow, procreate, mm-hmm. and baby grows and develops. So that's all, to me, like the creative process of Yahweh. Yahweh's created this. I tend to think of things in terms of the animate and the inanimate, the living and the non-living, and in the realm of the non-living, it seems to tend toward disorder, but yet within it, the life forms are organized, and that's Yahweh creating life and putting order, creating order to create the life forms.
Right. And I'm far more fascinated by the difference between animals with a soul, with the ability to observe and respond consciously, thoughtfully, purposefully, deliberately, to what they are witnessing, what they're experiencing, that I am with animals, I assume with plants, are the simplest forms of life. The simplest forms of life I do not find interesting. I'm happy to look at a flower. They're pretty, but it's the life that is enabled by consciousness, the ability to observe and respond to the environment, that I find fascinating. And I think he is, he's trying to go a step beyond, in a retreating fashion to understand how, matter can become, the simplest form of life from, by creating a new definition of life. When I think that we're far more benefited, to look at the other side of life. How we go from being an animal that can respond to their environment to being an animal with a conscience that it can actually discern right from wrong, good and bad, to a being that can be empowered with the Yahweh spirit and explore the universe in dimensions beyond those which we can even presently perceive.
Right. Well, and it's funny, that's why I try not to be too dogmatic about, like, things in physics or astronomy and stuff, because I don't know that stuff. But I don't know if you're aware, but the Big Bang Theory is taking some serious hits these days, from the scientific establishment, in terms of, it has to do with the relationship of size of things at a distance and blah, blah, blah. So, so we have academics even arguing, it's like if you buy into some scientific concept that you've been told is true, like take for example the term fossil fuels, people run around fossil fuels. Well, it turns out, and then people mistakenly think they're talking about the fuel coming from dinosaurs.
A squish dinosaur.
The dinosaurs, it would have been the giant ferns, not the dinosaurs.
Right, of course.
But even then, it's wrong, fossil oil, really. And now you find out later, the conventional wisdom I was given from science of my day is wrong. And so, that's why I've never really signed on adamantly to the Big Bang, because I don't understand it,
What you're saying is we have to be careful. We have to be careful when we associate scientific theories with Yahweh's testimony, because the scientific theories are constantly changing, and if we ascribe a scientific theory to Yahweh's testimony that turns out to be errant, then we have done a disservice to Yahweh's testimony.
Bingo.
Consider one other thing. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you consider one other thing. When you have any organization that lives off a publication and you get all your stuff because all your kudos come from publishing something, you have a great motive to disassociate from any theory because this doesn't have your name on it. So you're always coming up with something new. And most publications that produce those things, they have to come up, or at least say it differently, or change a wrinkle here and there. So
yeah, it's the whole thought about how do you get recognized in science? How do you get the big gigs, the fame, and the big bucks in science? Right. And it's by A, either disproving somebody else's theory, or coming up with a theory of your own. And then that's how you become noted in science. So it's the contrarian in science that is noted.
Yeah.
And so there is a desire for that. And I think what this fellow is doing is I think he's actually, in one regard, doing something that makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing that energy and matter are the same thing, why not life being the same thing as energy and matter, that life is comprised of energy and matter, but organized based upon DNA, and to look at the similarity in those things, the connections between those things, the organizational structure that differentiates this different composition of the same material.
I think that part
makes sense. Yeah, that part makes sense. The part that doesn't make sense is that if you're simply going to redefine life to make your theory work, I don't know where that gets you.
Yeah, exactly. About this energy matter thing, I don't typically hear physicists saying that matter is energy, but I hear all sorts of laymen saying it. And my standard line on that is, when the layman who believes matter is energy can stand in front of a moving bus and let it pass through his body, then I'll buy it.
E equals MC squared is not a theory.
It's a relationship. It's a relationship between energy and matter. It doesn't make them synonymous.
It makes them equivalent.
It defines a relationship between them. That's what an equation does. It defines a relationship.
2 + 2 = 4. As a layman and not scientist, has exposed myself to the potential of more error. I've been getting numbers of emails recently on my propensity to error. But it is interesting in matter that matter is more space than matter, and I don't know the exact number, but it's in the many thousands, if not millions of times, could even be billions of times, more space than there is that which could be considered matter. It's also interesting that the part that could be considered matter is constantly moving. And so that which we consider solid only appears solid because of the bonds and the fields that connect the matter. And so the bus won't move through us, not because of the fact that the bus is a million to one or more empty space, and so are we, but because of the fields and bonds that govern the organization of matter. Not that any of that really matters.
So you're saying that though there's some modicum of gray matter in my head, it's still mostly air that's between my ears.
That is correct. I am saying that.
Oh,
and by the way, a lot of people are saying that. I've been getting an ever increasing number of emails pointing out the errors of my way. So
I guess I'll stop emailing.
Don't give them my number, please.
Yeah, don't give me my number. You know what's interesting here is that. Did have I ever claimed to be a Hebrew scholar?
No,
I don't recall ever. Did I ever claim to be a professor?
You never claimed to be much. Yeah.
No, did I ever claim to be uniquely qualified? Ever claim to be a theologian?
Well,
What do y'all pay me to do this? Am I taking your money to provide some?
I'm gonna tell you what.
Pay you an occasional compliment.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, thank
that's
you.
Good.
Oh, thank
that's
you.
Good.
Yeah, you know, and somebody even wrote that when you are in the front of the class, you bear responsibility.
You know,
I don't recall passing anybody to move to the head of the class.
No,
I don't even recall wanting
role
or asking for or claiming any responsibility. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what Scott told me. He says, you're 100% right every time you quote y'all.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's good enough for me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This particular one came, and I got two very distinct responses to my admission yesterday that I had aired regarding cross-dressing, that Yahweh didn't want us as men to dress like women, and he didn't want women to dress like men, although it is really interesting. He doesn't do anything by chance. He began with women.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't want women to dress like men, and doesn't want men to dress like women. Now, one of the things, you know, one person said, if you're a cross-dresser or a homosexual, you can't be part of the covenant, and I said that you could be part of the covenant. So let's address that first. And I from, you know, a flawed individual who is known to have more air than gray matter between his ears, and who has never claimed to be an errant, let's discuss that first. And I want to discuss what I think is far more interesting here.
Okay.
The instruction was written. What do you think the conjugation was? Do you think that Yahweh wrote it in the perfect, if you once as a woman wear a man's apparel, or if you once as a guy put on your wife's slippers to go out and get the newspaper, that you're in serious doo-doo?
No, I think it's imperfect, right?
Yeah, imperfect, just if you're making a habit on it, ongoing behavior. Now, we've all engaged in some things, so I have engaged in some things that would be in direct violation of Yahweh's most concerning issues, which is to misrepresent the path to him. I was an evangelist, for crying out loud. So, but I've stopped. So I am no longer at crosshairs with that instruction. I am no longer violating that instruction. Beyond that, the moment you become part of the covenant family, Yahweh can neither see nor remember any of that sort of stuff. So from God's perspective, I'm fine. So that means that if somebody was a cross-dresser, somebody was a homosexual, they absolutely could be part of the covenant. I shouldn't say absolutely, because I have no qualifications here. It doesn't seem to me that if Dode, who violated some of the things that made Yahweh's top 10 list, if Dode can be considered righteous and a member of the covenant for having done some things that, you know, were pretty significant.
Rough.
That things that don't make the top 10 list of Yahweh, like homosexuality and cross-dressing, that are only mentioned in passing on a few occasions, that if you had done either one of them and decided that, you know, that's probably not a good idea, and you decided that you would avail yourself of the covenant, that I can't see why you'd be precluded from being part of the covenant. Now, we'll talk about other things in a moment. I don't want to give the impression that I think that it is likely that someone who is Caitlyn Bruce Jenner, who is making a spectacle of themselves cross-dressing, that individual is in the covenant. I think the likelihood of somebody who is actively making a spectacle and promoting this as good as he is has one chance in 10 bazillion of being part of the covenant.
Can I suggest
I would also say that somebody who is, and I was going to read, you know, I was going to come up with somebody promoting homosexuality that actually we knew, and I Googled it, there's only two people on the list that I've even heard of before, Cindy Lauper and Courtney Love were the two, because they're singers. Actress singers, somebody who is out actively promoting homosexuality as something good, the chances are probably even less. But, you know, if they were to stop doing it and they were to come to know Yahweh and accept the terms and conditions of the covenant, why would they be any different than the rest of us? I've done things far worse than those two things.
Yeah, I made it a point to offer as much money as I could to pay for the gospel spread around the world. I mean,
yeah. And Dode did things far worse, things that made the top 10 list. Now, I had an observation this morning.
Mm-hmm.
When Yanoa said, you know, I don't want women dressing like men and men dressing like women, I had a friend write me a note and said, you know, what am I to make of this? Is it wrong if a woman wears jeans and sneakers? I mean, you know, what's going on here?
No.
And I said, you know, the first thing you think of here is that, no, you know, in today's world, there's jeans made for men and jeans made for women. My wife looks great in a pair of jeans. I have a pink shirt. I look okay in my pink shirt, but you know, I don't have pink sneakers. When I dress in my pink shirt, I'm not trying to look like a girl. You know, when my wife puts on jeans, I'm going to tell you, she does not look like a man. And she's not pretending to be a man. Today, for the most part, there is a real distinction between men's clothes and women's clothes. The way they're cut, the way that they're made, the way they're marketed, and the way they look when they're worn. But you know what I thought about here? I was even thinking about it yesterday and didn't say it. There's a reason that we are almost mandated here to view this as something other than simple apparel. What did Sarah and every woman of her day wear?
Just a robe.
Right. What did Abraham and most every man of his day wear?
Same thing.
What did they wear on their feet?
Sandals.
Both of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was really no difference in the way that women dressed and the way men dressed 3,000 years ago, was there?
Well, they probably cinched it up a little better on the waistline.
Yeah, or probably, you know, in my view, the gals looked better than the guys in it. But it was the same apparel.
Sure.
Right? And you know, the guys might, in some cases, but not necessarily, be a little shorter, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's practical wear.
All right. So it was practical wear. They all wore virtually identical things. So God's got to be talking about more here than apparel. So yesterday I came to the conclusion what he's talking about here is false pretenses.
Mm-hmm.
It's never acceptable for you to approach somebody under false pretenses. I came to this conclusion when I wrote Prophet of Doom and I had gazillions of people offering to partner with me, and many of them were Christians.
Uh-huh.
And I elected universally not to do so. Because I don't want to use a false pretense to negate another false pretense.
No. Then what do you do when you speak out against Christianity? Then you're
right.
You're gonna mess with your supporters,
right?
That would,
you know, that's why I said, you know, I'm better off not having a supporter. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to form an allegiance with someone who is operating under false pretenses to negate a false pretense that destroys your credibility. Yahweh doesn't do it. Did Yahusha come with a different name, with a Roman name or a Greek name, so that he could be better accepted?
I think that's the classic example, isn't it?
Yeah.
I came in.
Or did he come with a Hebrew name, knowing at the time that there was nothing that was more despised by the Romans and the Greeks and by virtually everyone in the world than a Hebrew name?
Mm-hmm.
But he came with a Hebrew name, didn't he? It's a man that's changed.
Significant one.
Yeah.
Name. So what bearing does this all have on the frequency with which I wear my French maid outfit?
I would decrease the frequency, what I would say.
Unless you got a stage job, you know, where you're working on the stage, and then take your makeup off before you go home.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, what Yahweh has to be saying here, Glenn, is don't come across as under false pretenses. Yeah. Don't pretend to be what you're not.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Paul was the one that said, you know, I pretend to be Torah observant for those who are Torah observant, even though I'm not. I pretend to be opposed to the Torah with those who are opposed to the Torah. I appear to be Jewish with those who are Jewish, and I appear to be a Gentile for those who are Gentiles, also that I can take advantage of them.
Is
that's not Yahweh. God said, don't do that.
And isn't that the same as just being a liar? And then he say, don't be a false witness? And that of being a false witness?
Yeah. Exactly. That is being a false witness when you pretend to be someone you're not. You know, I've got lots of flaws. I'm not pretending to be someone I'm not. I'm not an expert. I'm not pretending to be one. Don't come to people under false pretenses. Don't claim to be an errant. You know, when somebody says, can you tell me, what day I should be celebrating Pesach? I said, no, I can't tell you that. I can tell you how I determined what day I'm going to celebrate it, but I can't tell you what day.
Yeah.
Don't pretend to be something that you're not. I got a question today from somebody that had a crucifix tattooed on them back in their Christian days and is now a member of the covenant and said, you know, how do I square this with God and how do I, you know, get his forgiveness for this? You know, what would you do? He said, and my initial comment is that I'm not the answer man. I'm not going to pretend to be Moshe. I'm not going to pretend to be Yahweh. You know, the answer is read the Torah and the Psalms. I mean, I know what the Torah says against tattoos, and I know what it says against religious imagery. And Yahweh is opposed to both. But how important is that man's body once he became a child of the covenant?
Zip.
Can God see any of the things that he has done wrong in his life?
No, sir.
Does he need to get forgiveness? Has he already received it?
No, that's the Christian coming in, taking in.
Yeah. So I said, you know, in my opinion, I mean, since you asked, so long as you realize that my lack of qualifications here, you know, I think that you should have the tattoo removed. And I would do it because it'll make you feel better, and you know you won't be misleading somebody that sees it.
Or just paint over it. Just make a black box or something. What the heck?
Yeah,
they can make them flesh tone now. They have a lot of money gets spent on tattoo reversal now, but I think the preferred means would have it be removed with a scourge. But
yeah. Actually, you know,
put a Band-Aid on it, you know.
It's one of the fastest growing businesses now.
Yeah. Right.
Is tattoo removal. So, right. That would be what I would do. But you don't have to do it for God. Do it for yourself. Do it for your fellow man.
Shame is not ball removal.
Right. It's just because when you're wearing it, you're coming across with false pretenses. That's what people will see, even though that's not you.
Yeah.
So, now, I got a letter from one of my very favorite people, Jackie. Never met Jackie in person, but, well, I probably exchanged 10,000 emails with Jackie. She was hugely involved in helping me edit my typos and mistakes out of all of the books. And, you know, she said that when she first heard me, I was on a radio program, and I presented the idea that Yahweh had both maternal and paternal characteristics, that Yahweh was our Heavenly Father, but he was also our spiritual mother. The set-apart spirit functions as our spiritual mother. And that maternal and paternal roles matter. They're important. And she said, you know, it was so different than Christianity where women don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, you cited the passage where Yahweh created them male and female in his image, he created them. That means women matter. And there is an equivalence in terms of the amount that they matter. And there's a correlation to Yahweh in the way that women matter. Women are equally important and absolutely equally interesting. And their roles are equally valuable. You know, but what Yahweh wants us to do is to celebrate our distinct contributions on that which makes us different. We can be different and equal.
Mm-hmm.
Now this gets back to E equals MC squared. We can be different but equal. And that's in that case that we're the same but unequal. This is a case of different but equal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what God is saying is not only observe, be very observant about the things that make women different and better than men, but also look at the things that make men different and better than women.
Yeah. Well, he put us both in his name, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting. He put both of us in his name. Yeah, because the ah, the last hey at the end of Yahweh's name, is the principal way of expressing the feminine in Hebrew. If you like, Ben is son, Bena is daughter, and Yahweh's name ends with the concludes with a hey. Now, so he did put both of us in his name, absolutely. But when you observe the unique contributions and what makes women and men different, then what I think is you're seeing is that not only the nature of Yahweh, but the nature of the covenant family. And through that symbolism, I think, are able to know God better. You know, when I was having my laser surgery, I had LASIK. And I went into the surgery and said, you know, I want that LASIK where you cause the lens of one eye to be able to see things that are near, and the laser to take the other eye and have it be focused for things that are far, because I was told that the brain could process it, and if I was looking at something near, have that clear, far, have that clear. And I was told, yeah, I could if you were a woman, but as a man, your brain doesn't work that way. Men and women are different. So as we consider this, let me share one other thought.
Okay.
Circumcision. There are those that say, you know, okay, so men have a sign of the covenant. It's circumcision. What about women?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, Yahweh didn't express circumcision in the covenant as a decision that men make for themselves. Did he?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mother's
he asked us as parents, and that would be men and women, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, to do this on behalf of their sons on the eighth day. You know, on the eighth day, who is a child spending the most of their time with and most dependent upon?
Totally mama.
Mama. And so, who is that son going to remind of their responsibility to teach them the Torah, to teach them what Yahweh had to say, to teach them about who Yahweh is and about the covenant that he is inviting us to belong to? Who is going to be reminded by that more often, by the son's circumcision, Zakar, if you will, here? Dad or mom?
Well, you know it's going to be mom.
Absolutely. There is far more to do with mom than dad in the circumcision of a son. Now, the reason women aren't circumcised is twofold. One, it wouldn't be a sign. You know, the female circumcision is not readily noticeable where male is. And number two, male circumcision enhances pleasure where female circumcision obliterates it. And Yahweh was not into being a killjoy. He is pleasure and joy oriented. And he's not into signs that can't be seen. He puts his sign right there along the way. You know, the creation is a sign. Bara, creation is a sign for those who are observant. So, I think that everything that God has to say is that we are one, men and women, and that just as we come together and are one in marriage, which is the covenant, Yahweh is one. You know, the Heavenly Father and Spiritual Mother are part of the same individual. Any thoughts on that? I mean, you want to be careful in agreeing with me because I'm getting lots of flack for having been wrong.
Right? Yeah. So, no, the only other thing I was going to say, and I wasn't going to bash old Bruce, but along those lines we've covered is it obviously it means all of that, but on a practical note, if you think about it, unfortunate thing about Bruce Jenner's situation is because he's so self-absorbed,
So needy.
His actions destroyed his relationship with his wife, and I don't know anything about the family other than all that nonsense, and I don't care about it. But you're still breaking up the home and, or the relationship with the husband and wife, and quite plainly, you put a tremendous amount of stress on the children, and almost to the point that these circumstances usually turn out where nobody wants to be around you. At least, that's against everything that the Torah teaches about family. So,
let me tell you, there's something you said there that really resonates with me. Something resonates with me. Bruce Jenner did this because he craves attention, because he needs attention. When I came to know Yahweh as dad, as someone who did not want me to put him on a pedestal, but just wanted to be part of my life, wanted to share my life with me. From that moment on, I never sensed another need. I have desire to grow and to learn and to explore, but at that point, I didn't need other companionship. I have never felt lonely. I have been wholly and completely content, comfortable now with who I am and with our relationship. It just completely changed my whole attitude and perspective on life to be the opposite of what he needs, which is to be the center of attention, to fill that void in his life. I don't have a void anymore.
I don't feel unlike that. I don't really care, you know, whether anybody knows who I am or what, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I have all the companionship I could ever want. I have the world's best companions. I mean,
pretty good companion.
I've got great companionship. You don't need, what could we need and want that we aren't given?
So he knows your needs, does he?
Yeah, and supplies them. Because he loves us.